This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Friday, March 16th, 1945. Lou Martin is standing by with the war news. We'll have the winners of the 1945 Oscars. Rapid Ray is in with the sports, and County Agent Bertie Ebling has This Week in Farming.
But we never had Last Week in Farming.
Well, Bertie's new. Farming is important stuff, though.
And stuff, that's my point. We don't know anything about farming. Who's going to ask the questions? Who's going to do the interview?
He's a county agent. He'll do the talking. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Miller's Women's Clothing Store, where they have new lithe and lovely Easter dresses for just $7.99. Miller's at 1227 Tower Avenue. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Organized resistance has ended at Iwo Jima, and Allied forces make a breakthrough over the Rhine. We begin our World Shortwave Radio report with Daryl Berrigan at Iwo Jima.
This is the Pacific. Daryl Berrigan reporting from Iwo. Today, Admiral Chester Nimitz declared the bloodiest, most costly battle of the Pacific is over. Organized resistance on Iwo ceased at 6 o'clock this evening when elements of the 3rd and 5th Marine Divisions broke through enemy lines at Kitano Point on the northern tip of the island. Iwo Jima was invaded February 19th, less than 4 weeks ago, by the 3rd and 4th Marine Divisions, joined later by the 5th. The determination of these Marines and their engineers is telling in the numbers. The casualties are the greatest of the Pacific War. To top last year's invasion of Saipan in the Marianas, more than 16,000 men were killed or wounded in that victory, but at Iwo, the cost is higher at 20,000 casualties. In his statement to his troops today, Admiral Nimitz said, quoting here, "Marines fought with certain knowledge of the cost of an objective which had to be taken. The Marines of the 5th Amphibious Corps and all supporting forces, I send my congratulations on an achievement that brings this war much closer to its inevitable end," unquote. Capturing this fuming, gritty, black little volcanic island has already proved a lifesaver for B-29 Super Fortress crews on bombing runs to Japan. So far, three B-29s, low on fuel or crippled from attack fire, have been saved by landings. If the airstrips had not been available here, they would have certainly crashed into the ocean. On Iwo, this is Daryl Berrigan calling Guam. Come in, Fleet Headquarters.
This is U.S. Pacific Fleet Headquarters in Guam. Jack Tremaine, your correspondent. 45% of the Marines who conquered Iwo were killed or wounded. Pacific Headquarters said nearly 20,000 men were casualties. That's a rate of one every 2 minutes during the 26-day campaign. Of the three Marine divisions, the division is about 15,000 men each. 4,200 are dead, more than 15,000 wounded and 500 missing. That compares to 21,000 Japanese dead. Not many prisoners were taken. The defenders, it seems, would rather die than surrender. Scattered, disorganized resistance continues as snipers fire from the caves. Capturing this island puts American troops just 750 miles from Japan itself. Lieutenant Gerald Holland Smith, nicknamed Howland Man Smith, commanded the fleet forces during the battle. At one point in the opening days of the invasion, he said the Marines were close to being driven off the island. Today he says, quoting him, "You can't set the cost of lives that you will pay for an island." Iwo's capture was critical to the continued vigorous offensive against the Japanese. Already two airfields are operating on Iwo. Both will be used to refuel super fortresses and their fighter escorts on bombing runs to mainland Japan from Saipan. In Guam, at U.S. Pacific Fleet Headquarters, this is Frank Tremaine. Calling the Central Pacific, come in, Philippines.
This is Lausanne, Mac Johnson in Manila. American infantrymen smashed a wedge 2 miles into the crumbling Japanese Shumbu line today. This wedge traps thousands of Jap soldiers. A Japanese machine gun burst killed Major General Edward Patrick. commander of the 6th Division and native of Tell City, Indiana. Patrick was the second commander to be hit while assaulting the Shimbu line. General Vernon Mudge of the 1st Cavalry is recovering from grenade wounds. The Shimbu line is roughly 15 miles east of Manila. It was cracked by a heavy blow from Major General Leonard Wings for the 3rd Division. General Wings' infantry drove through Jap defenses and cut off escape roads for Jap forces. Meanwhile, annihilation of the Shimbu line was speeded up by something called skip bombing. Yes, siree, Bob. It's a technique used by fighter bombers skipping bombs into Jap caves and tunnels. And at Mindanao, Major General Jens Doe's 41st Division seized 15 villages in the southern Philippines. It also extends the Mindanao beachhead to 28 miles. But the Yank advance was slowed way down by a new Nipponese weapon, electronically controlled landmine. Oh, boy. In Manila, this is Mac Johnson calling Europe. Come in, Germany.
Hello, this is the Third Reich. Max Jordan reporting. The American breakthrough across the Rhine River continued today as troops flood across the Remagen Bridge. Nazi forces are trying to destroy that crossing. As they try, attention is taken away from other areas where Allied forces are then able to cross the Rhine in great numbers. German radio estimates that more than 100,000 American troops are at the Remagen Bridge, including the new 15th Army. They called it the most concentrated American force since the D-Day landing at Normandy. Today, American forces split the German defenses on the east side of the Rhine in a breakthrough across the Rhine-Ruhr-Berlin superhighway. It was built by Hitler with the idea to move his military machinery quickly. Now, it is the Allies who have this road. General Alexander Patch's 7th Army Offensive has committed 6 divisions, 85,000 troops. They are now 7 miles northeast of the Remagen Bridgehead. Meanwhile, to our south, Lieutenant General George Patton's 3rd Army is applying a nutcracker squeeze north of the Saarland, breaking out, cutting off Koblenz in a supreme effort to trap thousands of Germans in sections along the Siegfried Line. Somewhere in Germany, this is Max Jordan calling the Eastern Front. Come in, Eddie Gilmore.
This is the Eastern Front. Eddie Gilmore along the Oder River with the Red Army. The Russians have opened a violent new attack on the last German positions east of the Oder in the Stettin area. A drumbeat barrage is being followed by masses of troops and tanks. In East Prussia, the Red Army broke through to the shore of a Baltic lagoon, which divided the remnants of 200,000 German defenders in the Königsberg zone. These offenses apparently are part of a wide-scale mopping up, setting the stage for a climactic battle, which the Soviets may launch along the Berlin front at any time. On the Eastern Front, this is Eddie Gilmore.
A threatened breakdown of the United States transportation system because manpower is being lost to the draft has been avoided. Defense Transportation Director has ordered that more men who work in shipping, railroads, and airlines be given draft deferments. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. Indeed, our sponsor is Miller's at 1227 Tower Avenue in Superior. I don't really know where to start, Lou. They have so much for the average lady to take care of, or a young lady, too, for that matter. It would be ridiculous not to go there and look for something for yourself and your family. For example, the Easter bonnet for Easter. $2.99 to $4.99 are the prices for the Easter bonnets. And they are chic. They are nice. And for the young ladies, your Easter dress, $7.99 to $16.99. You have Easter suits, $22.99 to $39.99. I could go on and on. I think I will for a moment. Blouses galore. Listen to this price for a beautiful blouse. $2.99. Stop by at Miller's at 1227 Tower Avenue and take in the bargain. Lou?
The War Department's release of casualties include several upstate men, Private Angelo Battesine of Hurley and Staff Sergeant Chalmer Loughblood of Grandview in Bayfield County are on the killed list. Private First Class Robert Champagne of Spooner was killed in action on the German front February the 23rd. And 20-year-old Champagne has two brothers serving in the Pacific and a sister is serving with the Army nurses in the Marianas. On the wounded list are Private Richard Brovold, husband of Mrs. Janet Brovold of Superior, and able-bodied Seaman Dale Argentsinger of Superior. Mr. and Mrs. Argentsinger, parents of Dale, were notified that their son was badly injured when a torpedo struck his merchant marine ship in January. He's in a hospital in England and has been awarded the Purple Heart. Two soldiers were turned over to military police by Superior Police today for being AWOL. 22-year-old Walter Gratzky of Superior and 22-year-old Earl Birch of St. Paul were arrested for being absent without leave. They spent last night in the county jail. An inquiry into the Butler shipyards in St. Paul and Superior is over. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
Good evening, Lou. The U.S. Senate Campaign Expenditure Committee dropped its probe, saying it never got information from radio commentator Fulton Lewis. Mr. Lewis reported that employees of Butler Shipyards and other companies getting war contracts used threats and coercion to raise money for the Democratic National Committee. The committee never received any proof of this from Mr. Lewis. In his daily broadcast, Fulton Lewis charged the committee with whitewashing the investigation. Quoting him, "The committee has knocked itself out shadowboxing in an attempt to blame me. The fact remains the committee did not investigate Butler Shipyards." End quote, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. Warrant Officer Hyman Arnovich has been awarded a Bronze Star. The citation read, "Warrant Officer Arnovich's constant initiative and resourcefulness proved of primary importance in the Leyte operation. When all other means of transportation failed because of impassable roads and terrain, Warrant Officer Arnovich efficiently organized 16 air missions to drop supplies to isolated units." That's the end of the quote. Arnovich is stationed in the Philippines with the 96th Infantry. His wife and son live at 525 Hammond Avenue in Superior. Restaurants in the Superior Ashland area that serve war workers may be exempt from having to close at midnight. The new curfew by the War Manpower Commission exempts places that serve meals to war workers on late shifts. 6,500 Easter seals have been mailed to residents of Superior and Douglas County. Local SEAL Chairman Mrs. Julius Cohen says reaching their goal will give each crippled child a chance to lead a useful life. And finally, we'd like to wish ace pilot Richard Bong's father a speedy recovery. 54-year-old Carl Bong is in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in the Veterans Hospital for treatment of arthritis. Mr. Bong served as a corporal in the Engineers Unit in World War I. He was in several battles in France, including the Meuse-Argonne.
Get well, Papa Bong, and thank you, Lou. So if we're hungry after midnight, we have to find a greasy spoon that serves war workers?
Well, it's another way to save fuel and food and manpower. Everything's tight these days.
That's not fair to hungry insomniacs or those who can't sleep. Let's check the forecast for this Friday, March 16th, 1945. A bit colder with occasional rain tomorrow. Tonight's low will be 33 with a high tomorrow of 36. And it's music time. Let's kick things off with Duke Ellington and Take the A-Train on the Martin and McKenna Show. Duke Ellington and his orchestra with Take the A-Train on station KUWS. Friends, after a long day at the war plant, nothing goes down better than a glass of cold suds, and I don't mean soap. That is, if it's northern beer, brewed right here in Superior, oh yeah. Try Vic's Special, or Northern Pale from Northern Brewing Company. We make it good. You made it famous.
The Elks are throwing a St. Patrick's Day shindig tomorrow night. The Elks and their ladies will be entertained by the three souvenirs. Exalted ruler W.R. Bolton says get there early due to the new curfew.
Someday, I'd like to be an elk. Do you get to wear the horns? Oh, on with the music. Here's B. Wayne and Nobody's Baby on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I'm nobody's baby. I wonder why. Each night and day I pray the Lord up above. Please send me down somebody to love. But nobody wants me. I'm blue somehow. Won't someone hear my plea and take a chance with me? Because I'm nobody's baby now. Be my mother's baby. When I was near, my dad went wild. Whenever we had company, they'd bounce me on their knee. The neighbors thought I was a darling child. Once I was everybody's baby, but right now I'm lonesome as can be.
She needs sympathy.
I'm nobody's baby.
Nobody's baby is lonesome.
I wonder why.
You always try to get a guy.
Each night and day I pray the Lord up above.
Nothing will help you.
Please send me down somebody to love.
She thinks it's Christmas.
But nobody's
baby.
Nobody wants her. I'm blue somehow.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Sugar is sweet, what's the matter with you?
Please hear my plea and take a chance with me. Because I'm nobody's baby now.
Nobody's Baby on station KUWS. So, Lou, when are you getting the results from the Academy Awards?
They'll be releasing a list in a few minutes. Let me introduce a new feature to our show. Welcome Bayfield and Douglas County Agricultural Agent, Mr. Claude Ebeling.
Call me Bertie. Everyone calls me Bertie. Bertie's short for Bertram.
But your first name is Claude.
Yes, it is.
But, you know...
Steady, old buddy. Oh, steady. It's going to be another one of those interviews.
I'm tired of those interviews. I want a normal interview with a normal person. WABC gets to have normal interviews.
Ha! You two guys always break me up.
Even when we're not trying, K-Claude.
Bertie. Call me Bertie. You know, Hollywood doesn't make enough farm movies. I mean, farms are perfect for drama and romance and mystery. Matter of facto, I'm writing a movie script right now. It'll be called... all about cows. And I'm going to star in it.
As a cow?
I'll be the handsome, debonair guy who has a way with cows.
Don't say.
That's utterly amazing.
It.
Someday, Bob Hope will be handing me an Oscar. So, how about them apples? Yes, that's a common saying when we're trying to rub something in someone's face, but there's more to it than being rude. Everyone's talking apples these days, especially around Bayfield, good apple-growing country. But the question is, how about which of them their apples? People come up to me and they say, Claude...
You mean Birdie.
Right. Ha! You got me there. They say, Birdie, what variety of apples shall I plant?
I don't think they say shall in Bayfield County.
This question can best be answered by the Wisconsin Nurserymen's Association. These fellows wrote to all the orchard men in Wisconsin, and out of 56 replies, most preferred McIntosh. Coming in a close second was Cortland, and then you got your Northwest Greenings, and your Wealthies, and your Red Delicious, and finally, your snow apple varieties. The point is, boys, go plant those trees as soon as the snow's gone. Then you can say, how about them apples? You know, I could be on radio.
Or in a circus.
Thank you, Mr. Claude Bertie Ebling, local farm agent.
Anytime at all.
Rapid Ray is in next with the sports, folks. Now let's hear from Russ Morgan and your nobody till somebody loves you on the Martin and McKenna Show. How about them apples show?
You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be king, you may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The world still is the same, you'll never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, you're no till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
Morgan, and you are nobody till somebody loves you on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, great interview with Birdie.
Right.
Yeah, you have a way of not inserting yourself into it.
I'll go and see if the Oscar results are on the wire yet.
Good timing, Lou. Now it's time for news from the sporting world with Rapid Ray Paulson. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. The round ball season is over for the Pure Golders of Ashland. They met their match in the semifinals of the state tournament in Madison as Madison West lived up to their number one rating. West forward Jack Wise emerged from the shadow of teammate Don Page by scoring, holy mackerel, 17 points as the Ashland Pure Golders' 23-game winning streak ended. Final score, Madison West 34, Ashland 26. Dick Axness and Bruce Fossum paced Ashland with 10 and 8 points each. The 1945 National Hockey League All-Stars have been chosen. The first team includes goalie Bill Burnham, defenseman Emile Bouchard, Elmer Locke, right winger Maurice Richard, and left winger Toll Blake, all of Montreal. Defenseman Flash Hollett of Detroit was the only guy not from the Canadiens. Yankee manager Joe McCarthy put his team through their first spring baseball drills in Atlantic City. Minus 15 players. That's right, 15 holdouts. And the season is just a month away. The Chicago Cubs are practicing in French Lick, Indiana, and for the first time in a few years since the war began, they've got a full club on hand. Promising young outfielder Andy Pafko is warming the heart of manager Charlie Grimm. From Bear Mountain, New York, Brooklyn Dodgers manager Leo DeRocher showed up for camp 15 pounds lighter. He joined his players in a stiff drill. It looks like Leo the Lip may return to playing because of the manpower shortage. Word is, DeRocher is a little meaner as well as leaner. Because, as he says, nice guys finish last. We don't believe that for a minute, fans. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Thank you, Ray. Who are you rooting for in the Oscars?
Well, since a cow's story isn't in the competition, it's got to be Gaslight. But I'm partial to Ingrid. Oh. Ingrid Bergman.
Oh, sure, yeah, right. Every guy's partial to Ingrid Bergman. But my guess is Bing Crosby had the big hit this year. I like Going My Way. And from that movie, here is Der Bingle himself with Swinging on a Star on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. Kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few,
so you see it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Do, 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 do.
Bing Crosby with the John Scott Trotter Orchestra and Swinging on a Star on station KUWS. Got the goods, Lou?
Got it. Keep in mind, I don't write this stuff. Some Hollywood hooligan writes it. I'm just reading it. Okay?
Sure.
Natch.
So no razzing me about it. It's a big day for the Irish and a lovely miss from Sweden.
Bing.
Ingrid.
Bing Crosby, Leo McCary, Barry Fitzgerald, little Margaret O'Brien, all as Irish as Paddy's pig.
As Irish as Paddy's pig?
I told you no smart cracks. And Miss Bergman walked out with a major share of the golden statues as the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences awarded its famed Oscars last night. The movie capital went all the way in voting Going My Way, the most outstanding picture of 1944.
Told you so.
Oh, just a wee bit of luck of the Irish.
The hit film outdistanced the epic Wilson and Double Indemnity with a whooping 7 Oscars. One Best Actor Oscar for crooner Crosby, one for Dublin-born Barry Fitzgerald as the finest supporting actor, 2 Oscars for director Leo McCary, another Best Screenplay, and to Johnny Burke for the best song, Swinging on a Star. Meanwhile, Miss Bergman won Best Actress for her vivid Psycho Harris role in Gaslight, crowning her career as one of the finest artists in Tinseltown. The coveted Irving Thalberg Award went to director Daryl Zanuck for the most consistent high-quality production of 1944 for Wilson, with a special award going to child favorite Margaret O'Brien. Ethel Barrymore shared supporting role honors in her mother part to Cary Grant in None But the Lonely Heart. There was only one mention of the movie studio strike going on, and that was Bob Hope. He related that producers are asking picketers to don't fence me in.
All right, Ray. You owe me a green beer tomorrow.
That sounds terrible.
Hey, he lost the bet. And it's St. Paddy's Day tomorrow. So let's just say he has to go my way. In Murphy's Pub, of course. That's it, folks. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and no leprechauns appear out of the green beer. For Lou Martin and Rapid Ray, then, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simons. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Joel Anderson, Brian Matuzak. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.